Hey man, it's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting today for the month of August. You know, I really enjoy, you know, the home group meeting. I believe the church is going to be going back to home group meetings.
Amen.
The future things will be happening.
Yes.
And we will begin as we will go back to the way we started.
That's right.
The church started house to house and so forth. And so anyways, amen. But I also want to thank everyone's faithfulness for coming out. It really does, Karen, in my heart, good to see, you know, our wonderful friends come out and who have a love for the Word of God and to pray one for another. Before I get going, I have some good news. Isn't good news good? Amen. Some good news is one friend of mine gave me $6,000 to put a borehole water well in a maternity clinic in Abilene, Nigeria.
Praise the Lord.
And so, yeah, so, you know, I went ahead and I've been funneling that money in. And so he sent some pictures, and 5 or 6 pictures of the rig and stuff. And so good things. He says, I want you to hear. And so he held the phone up and he was drilling, you know. And so some really good things is happening, because in the summertime, the water wells in the area dry up, and the ladies that are going to have a baby have no water unless somebody walks 3 or 4 miles to a river and brings back polluted water. But now with this water well, the ladies will be exclusively for the clinic, and then the clinic will go ahead, and if there's enough, we'll share water with the village, which is just a wonderful thing, because we're delivering 125 to 130 babies a month at this maternity clinic. And so this water well is definitely a tremendous blessing, and so I thank God for that. And the brother who provided the money, he seems to have a heart for the maternity clinic, and maybe someday we're good to go. Amen. So let's go ahead and get started. That's Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 46. And there are 4 points from last month that I would like to share. And as to lay a little foundation and get our hearts moving back into what the Lord would have. Now, we are in the wilderness of Paran, and the word Paran means glory. So we are in the wilderness of glory, and it's just a wonderful place. Amen. So one of the points that we talked about last month to get us going is that many Christians have been told many wrong things about the wilderness. Oftentimes when we talk about someone in the wilderness or whatever. And, oh, wilderness is a bad place and it's terrible and you must have sinned and stuff like that. Well, that is not true. Actually, the wilderness is a wonderful place, and it's a place where there's great life if you know where to look. Even in the physical wilderness, and I've been in the wilderness many times, when you look at it, it looks very stark and barren, but if you know where to look and if you have the right eyes, then you'll be able to see the life that is in the wilderness. And I will tell you, in God, it is in the wilderness where God wants to take us to, where there is great life for us. Amen?
Amen.
Question number two, or point number two is all we need to mature in God is an honest heart and desire God's best. Amen?
Amen.
All we need to mature in God is an honest heart and desire God's best. That's it. We strive, we do all of these things, and we try to say and do and, you know, all of these things, but all we really need to become mature in God is to have an honest heart and desire God's best, and God will take it from there, because God will not allow us to fail if we love Him. He will not allow us to fail. He only has good things for us, and so all we need is an honest heart and a desire to do best, and God will take it from there. Amen. The third point. Amen. We talked about presumption. And presumption is kind of confusing for a lot of people. But presumption is a big issue. Is a big issue, especially as a Christian, as they're maturing. Amen. To avoid danger of presumption, and presumption is to presume to be right, but in reality you're wrong. It's bad not knowing you're right, but it's even worse not knowing that you do not know that you're wrong. And so to avoid the danger of presumption, we must be content with not needing to understand everything. Wow, how about that? We do not need, it's not important that we understand everything. What is important is we know who holds the future. We know who understands everything.
Amen.
It's not important that we know everything, but it's important that we know Him who knows everything, and everything will take care of itself. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And under that point, be willing to lay aside what we may or we may not believe. Oh, I believe this, and I'm going to go to my grave believing that. Well, the longer I go in God, the less I know. Because of all the things that I thought I knew when I first became a Christian, God has been able to expand my mind and open up my heart, and by the Holy Spirit to kind of minister thoughts to me. And now He's taking that individual truth like a little thread, and they just pulled that thread along my life, and along those areas of that thread, there's different veins of truth have come out. And the original thought back here, I don't believe that anymore. Well, I believe it, but now it's a different depth of belief. And if I'm not willing to lay this aside so that He can start pulling those strings of truth along the way, then I'll never be able to walk in that new understanding that He has for me. And the last point is, God's wisdom is found in, oh God, give me your wisdom. Okay, God's wisdom is found in follow direction to find wisdom. Follow direction to find wisdom. If we find God's direction, we will find His wisdom. Amen. But that was worth coming tonight for. If we find His direction, what He wants in our life, where He's leading us to, we will find His wisdom. And we saw last month, as we were looking at the children of Israel, as long as they followed what God wanted them to do and go, then there was great wisdom and there was security. Because the children of Israel, when they walked in the desert, which is very cold at night, there was a pillar of fire that kept them warm. And as they walked in the heat of the day, there was a cloud that covered them. As they walked, there was a cloud. And as long as they followed God's direction, good things happened. They were protected. God's provision was there. And so follow direction to find wisdom. If we find His direction, then we will find God's wisdom. Amen. So let's go ahead and, you know, keep, you know, tabs and notes. Please go ahead and, you know, turn to the beginning. And remember that I am taping for my website. This will be out on my website in about 3 or 4 days. So if you have any questions, please write those questions down, and we'll answer them at the end. And then so we all have understanding. Because it's very, very important for us. You know, I always tell students when I substitute at school, I always ask them what the dumbest question in the world is. And kids can give you some pretty strange answers there. But I always go, no, the dumbest question is the question not asked. It's dumb. It's a dumb question because it wasn't asked. Maybe that's kind of an oxymoronic statement. But anyway, write a question down. I don't know everything, but there's enough hearts and minds and experience here, we can try to get to the, you know, to the bottom of it. Amen. Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 46. The text is Numbers 10:34. Remember, we're in the wilderness of Paran now, and Paran means glory. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And so the cloud of the Lord, this cloud always was over them when they walked. So they walked, and that cloud provided, you know, protection and stuff like that. Today we went for a walk with Connie's dogs, and man, it was hot. Whew. I mean, we were just walking, but when we got in the shade, whew, and the wind started blowing a little bit, boy, was that wonderful, you know. That was the same blessing that the children of Israel experienced. As they were under that cloud, you know, there was that shade, and there was that comfort. Amen?
Amen.
The first lesson to be learned is to follow the cloud. Follow the cloud. We must learn to follow what we know to be God's direction. We've got to follow the cloud. as long as they followed the cloud, they followed the wisdom. As they followed the cloud, then they were in God's will and they were in His provision. So for us, if we want to be in God's will and God's provision, we too have to follow the cloud. Amen? Do that which we know leads us to more wisdom and truth. Doing what we know leads us to more wisdom and truth. So people say, oh God, give me wisdom and give me truth. When most Christians, God will give wisdom and truth and they don't walk in that, but they're asking God for more wisdom and truth. Well, God will not give you more wisdom. He will not give you more truth until you walk correctly in what God has given you. And as you walk correctly in, as you qualify and you approve your service to God by doing what He wants you to do, then God will give you more wisdom and He will give you more truth. Many of us spend so much time and effort in worrying about what we do not know. That there is a little strength and opportunity left to follow God in what we do know. As we learn to walk in the knowing with God, we will spare ourselves from much trouble and anguish. It is very important for us, again, not to know everything and have to know, you know, all we need to know is to walk in what God what God has given us and God has shared with us, and, you know, good things will happen and He will take good care of us. Why ask for more when we fail to work and walk in what God has for us, already given us? Well, God will not give us more things of His to go ahead and do unless we are faithful in those things that He's already given us. The second lesson to be learned is not to complain and question God as we follow. So lesson one is follow the cloud. Number two is don't complain and question God as we follow the cloud. Children of Israel constantly complained and bellyached. Oh, Lord, You led us out in the wilderness to die. What, there's no water here. You know, we had the flesh pots and we had the melons and we had the leeks of Egypt. You know, they complained. What Hebrew tells us that their carcasses fell in the wilderness because of unbelief and because of their complaining. The second lesson to be learned is not to complain and question as we follow. The children of Israel were always complaining about these wilderness stops. Yeah, they were. Why did the cloud stop here? Doesn't God know that there's no water here? And this is the wilderness? Of course God knows that, but God has a purpose. I remember, and maybe the story will be too long, but I was in the Islamic Republic of the Mauritania, and I was out, and I went for a walk in the desert, you know, and it was cool. It was a beautiful day. The sun wasn't up, and I was walking, and I didn't have any water, and I just went out, and before I knew it, the sun was up, and I was sweating, and it was, oh my gosh, and I went for a walk about an hour and a half out, and I realized, oh my gosh, I'm sweating. Then I stopped sweating, and I said, I got to get back. So I turned around, and I started heading back another hour and a half, and I realized that I was in trouble, that I had no water, the sun was up high, and I was in trouble. And just then, the Lord dropped in my heart the 23rd Psalm. And when David said, He leadeth me, in the Greek, and in the pictorial text of those words, it's God brings me from one watering hole to the next watering hole. Now here I am in the desert, and God drops in my heart, He brings me from one watering hole to the next watering hole. Wow. And as I kept stepping, He leadeth me. That's what I kept saying. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. And as I was saying, He leadeth me, my steps was getting bigger and bigger. And by the time I got back to where we were staying, I was almost running. I was almost running. And it was not because of me. In my foolishness, I didn't follow the cloud. I didn't listen. But God took care of me. And when He dropped that word in my heart, that He leadeth me. Amen. Or I never forget that. Amen. the more we question God and complain, the less confidence God has in us. Uh-oh. The more we complain and the more we question God, the less confidence He has in us. Even in our own natural children, right? When they're growing up, if they're complaining and belly aching and all that good stuff, the less, and we still love them, but the less confidence we will have in there. And on my notes right here, I have, oh me. And I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, I have, oh me there. Amen. Mm-hmm. Why does God lead us into the wilderness? To kill us because there are no graves in Egypt? As they followed the cloud, they did not recognize the wisdom of God in leading them to these specific places. Therefore, they did not recognize God's purpose in each stop. God had a purpose in each stop that God brought them along, even when they left Goshen, the children of Israel. Each wilderness that they went to, each stop, there was something God was trying to work into their lives and work things out of our lives. Unless God can work things out of our lives, God will never, ever be able to work His things into our lives. Amen? And so each stop the children of Israel made in the wilderness, then God had a purpose and a plan, and He was working something in their lives. Well, that's the same thing in our life. When God brings us to the wilderness, when He brings us to situations and circumstances that are very difficult for us, things that are hard for us to deal with, that we can't do it, and that's right, we can't, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. And there's a purpose and there's a plan that God has for us with each stop that He has in our life. And as we just follow the cloud, as long as we go with Him, then God will be able to take care of us and He will do the work that needs to be done in our life. The harder the wilderness, the harder the situation, the harder the circumstance, the more work that God does in your life. Easy situation, easy circumstance, not much is done. But go through something very difficult. Go through something very hard. Go through something that will kill you. Whew. Wow. God will be able to do a great work in your life. Amen?
Amen?
We must recognize God's purposes all along our life. Not just here and there, but one thing for spiritual growth and development to happen in us, we must be able to recognize God's hand and purposes in our life. Amen. Well, that's this, and that's a chance, and that could be this, it could be that. No. We must have enough spiritual wherewithal to say, that is God. God is moving that. I don't understand how that's or how it's going to work out or this situation is going on or whatever. But I know that is God. I know that is God. And I know that God is going to take care of me and He's going to see me through the end. And we got to be able to recognize that. If not, then we start getting lost. We start getting up from under the cloud. We start moving away and start getting off track. And that's not what God would have for our life. If we do not learn the second lesson, learn not to complain, we will never see the meaning in Paran. And again, the wilderness of Paran, Paran means glory. We will miss the beauty and the glory in the wilderness and die of spiritual hunger and thirst. That's what happens. If you complain and bellyache, you won't see the beauty that's contained in the wilderness, and we will die of spiritual hunger. You know, it's bad to die of physical death, and it's bad to die physically, but it's worse to die of a spiritual death and a spiritual hunger and thirst. Wow. If we learn and obey, we will see God's glory. I like that song, Brother Darrell, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. If we learn and obey, we will see God's glory. That's a promise. Amen? Many believers are starving for God's glory and beauty, but do not receive because they have not walked in His obedience to what they know to do and are always complaining when God takes us to His workshop, the wilderness, and begins to work in us. If God cannot teach us to obey, He can do anything with us. If God can teach us to obey, He can do anything with us. This work with God in the wilderness is not for the half-minded or the slow at heart, but for the bold and the courageous. I like that one verse in Revelation that it says, there's no cowards in heaven. And it's true. There's no cowards in heaven. I mean, if you make it to heaven, you know, there's no cowards in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Don't miss it. Don't miss it. The brightness of the glory of God, the cloud, the burning fire by night, rested in the wilderness of Paran. That's where that started. In the wilderness of Paran, the cloud and the fire by night that kept them warm started in the wilderness of Paran. The tribes of Israel under this cloud. But one can live under the glory of God and never see it. And never see it. Consider how many people miss the glory of God as Jesus walked this earth to teach and perform God's wondrous miracles. Every Sunday, people go to church and they hear preaching and they feel the presence of God and they even see people healed or, you know, all of these spiritual things that are going on, and they miss it. They miss it. They're sitting there and they miss it. Wow. Man. How much of God's glory have we missed because of you fill in the blank? Amen?
Amen.
How much of God's glory, and all of us have a blank there, right? All of us have that blank. But how much of God's glory has David missed because of my blank? I don't know. But we all have a blank there. All I can say is trust and obey, and God will take it from there. Amen. Today, some believers will miss the glory of God in the wilderness. There are many things we would never want to miss. A holiday. We would never forego our vacation time. How about a payday? Who would want to miss payday? Christmas. Few believers would want to miss Christmas, right? We want money, convenience, comfort, health, happiness. We want a nice home and a car. When a Christian gets these things greater priority than the glory of God, we have come short of the glory of God. And we will miss the beauty and glory in the wilderness of Paran. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible there in Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Complaining and belly aching and all of those things probably are not sin. Sin is to miss the mark, right? To know right but do it not, that's sin. But complaining and belly aching, bad attitudes, just biting someone's head off and stuff like that, I believe that is coming short of the glory of God. And if we're not careful, we can get over into some areas of sin. But there's many people that have these character flaws and stuff like that, and they will miss the beauty and the glory of God in the wilderness of Paran. We will miss seeing the glory of God if our vision is fixed on our fears also. Fear of the work of the Lord, possibly humiliation and embarrassment in our lives in the wilderness, will keep us from looking toward the wilderness and the glory. He wants to work in our lives. Let us not be afraid of the wilderness. Let us not be afraid of hard times, difficult areas that God takes us through so that He can work in our lives. I like that verse, Psalms, the Song of Solomon 8:5, that says, who is he coming up from the wilderness, leaning on his beloved? The wilderness, those tough times and difficult areas in our life that we allow God to take us through, we don't get stuck in, take us through, is where we learn how to lean upon God, our beloved. It is those things that we go through that God can mold us and shape us and make us into His dear Son. Amen? Let us not be afraid of the wilderness, because the wilderness is good. Anything else? Wow. Second, the seasons in the wilderness will become occasions where God imparts certain divine meanings, revelations, and richness to us. Let me say that again. This is important. Seasons in the wilderness will become the occasion when God imparts certain divine meanings,
revelation, and richness to us. The wilderness will be the place of our greatest progression in God.
What do you mean?
Our greatest progression in God will be in tough times, difficult areas. I thought it was going to be in a nice praise and worship service.
No,
I thought it was going to be when I'm giving all this money to the church and God is blessing me and I'm rolling on the floor or whatever. No, our greatest progressions in God will be as He carries us through difficult areas in our life. And not too many Christians want to experience that. They would rather go through a nice song service. There's nothing wrong with song service and stuff like that. But there's not much of the work of God happens in our life. God cannot do much work in a time of blessing, even in a church service. But I promise you, God can get you in difficult areas and difficult situations. He likes to break us so He can fix us. You know, and God is good at breaking us. Of course, if God can't break us, then we will not be very useful. But God likes to break us so that He can fix us the way that we need to be. Most Christians that God uses will spend 50-60% of their time in the wilderness. You can write that statistic down. Most Christians that God will use will spend more than half of their time in the wilderness. Check out the Bible. Check out the Bible. Anybody that God used, He took them to the wilderness. Jesus, He took to the wilderness. After, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." And God spoke to him, and he was baptized. And then the Bible says that then he was driven to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. But he didn't stay in the wilderness. There were lessons and richness that God the Father worked in the Son. And the Bible says, then Jesus coming up from the wilderness with power. The wilderness is the place that we go where God works in our life and gives us the power. And the wilderness is the place where the great progression is, and God can give us revelation and can give us meaning and can give us the richness that we need in our life. But He can take us into His workshop and work His nature and character in us. I like this verse here. It's listed in Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are His workmanship." I like that word workmanship in the German. It's Baustelle. It's Baustelle. But we are God's Baustelle. We are God's workmanship. It's not the church. It's not anything else. When we talk about the work of God, that's us. We are the focus of God's workmanship. And as He's allowed to work in our life and we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, wow, then we'll be more fruitful and we'll be more useful to Him in our local church or in ministry around the world. The Lord takes us into the wilderness and reveals His thoughts and intents of His heart to us. It's in the wilderness that God, tough times, difficult situation, is where God is able to reveal His thoughts and His intents of His heart to us. And if anybody has ever been through something very difficult, and you're laying there, and God is ministering to you, then my words ring true in your ears. But if not, then they're foreign, and you do not understand what I am saying. But it is in the wilderness, His thoughts and intents of His heart to us, which are thoughts of love and joy, and intending for us to walk with Him in victory and prosperity. God only has victory and prosperity for us. That's it. You know, if you're looking for something else in God, you're wasting your time, right? Because God loves us. He knows the thoughts that He has for us, and they are for good and not for evil, to bring us to an end, right? So all God has for us is good. Even the things that we don't call good, in God's eyes, are good, because we're going to bring us to the end and the purpose that God has for us. But God only has victory and prosperity for us. And unless God is able to work in us, unless God is able to work in our lives, then He cannot use us. And He cannot use us the way that He wants to use us. It is the only way that God can use us and work in our lives and bring us to the place that He wants us to be is by Him, by us allowing Him to work in our life. And we are control of God Almighty. Isn't that amazing? We are control. We can say, no, I don't want that. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do everything that I can to reject you. And God is saying, let me help you. Let me help you. I have a better idea, whatever, whatever. But we have the power to say no to God, and God will give us our wishes. Wow, that is amazing to me. Amen. The party bots. There are certain things which God can bring to us only as we properly relate to His glory in the wilderness. Now, if you're taking notes, underline that and write that down. There are certain things which God can bring to us only as we properly relate to Him in the wilderness. There are certain aspects of the work of God in us which must be accomplished in the wilderness and nowhere else. There are things that must be accomplished in us nowhere else that are not found in difficult times, in sickness, in situations that you... There's no way that God's going to be able to, or there's no, it's just, you know, it's utter defeat. There's no defeat in God. But all of these aspects and these situations are only properly found in the wilderness for us. Wow. My mind, it reminds me of one of the first times I went to Istanbul, Turkey. Pastor Yanko, he's about that tall. Darrell, what do you think? Maybe that tall.
Yeah.
A little short guy. Did we go up to the... We went up to Turkish Fort, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we went up to Turkish Fort. And the first time I went there, he took me behind the wall. And what this building was, it was a powder room. And so there was a room. And then there was, like a drainage area. And there was ledges right here. Then there was another wall right here. And he was short, and he could just scamper around the wall. Well, I'm 6'5". And so anyways, he said, come on, let's go. About all the English he knows. But he was checking me out. He was checking me out to see if I would listen to him. Because if I would listen to him, then he could trust me in ministry. And so I said, all right, come on, let's go. So he disappeared into the darkness behind the wall. And when I got in there, I had to kind of walk, like this. And I was rubbing my forehead here. And it was just scraping. And all of a sudden, I started feeling the blood running down. And I couldn't turn around because it was so narrow. And I was just doing this, And it was very difficult. And as I was walking, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my head just opened up with stuff. Thoughts and things that I had never, ever dreamed. It was like God opened up my head and just, like a water hose full of revelation. Knowledge. And it was just, I'm there. That experience happened in that painful situation. I could not have had that situation in any church service. Nowhere else in the world God reserved that place, that time for me. And I had thoughts and I couldn't comprehend. I just couldn't comprehend. And that just made me want to walk more. And as I scraped my forehead on the ceiling, and as I got to the bend in the room, there was a little more light. And then I just kept on going. And then I looked down and I saw there was a place between my legs where I could get down in. And I just straightened my forehead. And then I just kind of walked around there. And he was waiting for me at the end. And it went like this, and like this, and like this, and like this. And he was waiting for me there. And I came out and I looked at him, blood running down my face. I said, come on, let's go. He said, come on, let's go. I tell you that story, true story, but that was the only place in the world that God had for me there to give me this revelation, this unforgettable
amount of revelation, and it was just a tremendous experience. Probably one of the most dynamic experiences I've ever had in God. Amen. These cannot be done in the promised land. They cannot be done even in heaven. They cannot be done in prosperity alone. They cannot be done in good health. Wherever they must be done, we must follow God to the place and respond to Him there in that place where He leads us to do the work in us that He desires. Boy, that's deep.
Amen.
That's deep. But that is the way that God operates. And if God cannot work on us in the place that He wants to take us to and bring us to, no matter what that place is, then there will be no spiritual growth and maturity in us. There won't. There will be, all of that will just be bypassed. And following God in obedience, in following God in obedience, God expects a response. God expects a response. And so as we go ahead and God leads us to the place and He begins to work in us, the work in us is not the end. The work in us, God is looking for a response. God invests His glory, He invests His time, He invests spiritual things in us, and He's looking for a response in us to what God has invested in us. Certain aspects of God's care and character are seen only in difficult places, as I said. How can we know Him as a healer unless we become sick? How can we see Him as the provider unless we are in need? God's nature and character, and I'm going to say this again, God's nature and character is seldom seen in good times. I know that's hard, and people, a lot of Christians don't want to hear that, but read the Bible, that was the example in the Bible, and Jesus is the same, or God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so that's going to be the same experience for us. Most of us will not render to God complete surrender and cooperation when we are in good times. Wherever we must be to have God accomplish His work in us, we must follow God to that place and that response to Him there. This was true for Abraham, for David, for Job, Joseph, and for all of us as well. Last thought, God is looking for us to follow in obedience His direction to where He has directed us and is waiting for us. God is waiting for us to respond correctly. Respond correctly, for nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. God is waiting for us. He's there. He wants to bring us to that place where He can do that work in us. And He's waiting for us to respond. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your many blessings and Your love, Father. Lord, we thank You for this word, Father, Lord. It's a deep word. It's a strong word, Father. But Lord, it's a word that we need, Father, Lord God. And we thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord God, for it's the strong, deep word, Father, Lord God, that builds Your character and nature, Father, Lord. It helps us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father. Lord, take this word, Father, Lord, as it goes out over the internet, Father, Lord God, and to all of our friends around the world, Father, Lord, that, Lord, it will lay at their heart, Father, Lord, and You will be able to minister, Father, Lord God, by Your Spirit, the hearts, Father, Lord, in Africa and Asia that are going through difficult things far greater than what I go through in my life, Father. And I just thank and I praise You, Father, for this opportunity. For we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.